Good morning, everyone. Today's daf is Yotes in Tanis. We are behind. We're back on Yedches Amid Al. We're at the very bottom. We thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf will be Lenin Lazer Nishmas Lois Lupin Zaltzman. So let's finish up yesterday's daf. Let's finish the second parak. Let's start the third parak. Towards the end of the second parak, yesterday's daf really dedicated to the topic of Megillas Tanis. Megillas Tanis is Torah Shabbat Peh that was one of the first Torah Shabbat Peh that was committed to writing. It was a tradition of dates that were experienced during the Second Temple, where good things and bad things are recorded. Good things that turned into Yemei Mishta. That's not accurate, but it was festival days. It was days that were happier days, and as a result of that, you weren't allowed to fast on those days, and some of those days you weren't even allowed to eulogize on those days. And then there were also dates recorded in Megillas Tanis, which were Saturdays, and as a result of that, turned into fast days. So the Batla Megillas Tanis, the conclusion of the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, is that Megillas Tanis is no longer in force, but the Gemara yesterday still spoke about it at length. We spoke about it at length as it relates to the day before and the day after. So as we learned yesterday, it's Machlokas Tanayim. Exactly how do we treat the day before and the day after the dates recorded in Megillas Tanis? So again, just quickly to recap, Rabbi Meir's position is that if it's I gave him two categories, category A, category B, just simply so that we can have an easy conversation. Category A is any of the dates that are very festive days where you're not allowed to fast and you're not allowed to eulogize. And then category B are festive days, not as festive, and you're not allowed to fast on those days, but you can eulogize. So on category A dates, the Tanakama's position, Rabbi Meir's position is that you can't fast the day before, but you're allowed to fast the day after. Rav Yossi says you can't fast the day before nor the day after. And then there were category B. Category B is dates where, according to the Tanakama, you're allowed to fast before and after, only the date itself. And Rav Yossi says, no, you're not allowed to fast the day before. Okay, so that was machlokus between the Tanakama, Rabbi Meir. Tanakama is Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yossi. Who does the halacha fall like? So Rav says the halacha falls like Rav Yossi, and we pointed out yesterday, we quoted Tosfos. Tosfos is bothered by a very simple question. Look, Megillas Tanis is no longer in force, but there's still 2 days in Megillas Tanis which are observed to this very day, and that, of course, is Purim and Chanukah. So that means that, according to Rav, the halacha falls like Rav Yossi, so that means Purim, which is category A, meaning you're not allowed to fast and you're not allowed to eulogize. So that means that according to Rav, possibly like Rav Yossi, that means that you're not allowed to fast neither the day before nor the day after after Purim. And so that only begged the question. Tosfos asked the question yesterday. So how is it that Minhag Yisrael is that we fast on the day before Purim? Okay. And Tosfos, we went through the Tosfos yesterday. Tosfos gave a couple of answers to that question of why it is that we have that we can fast the day before. Okay. That was all yesterday. We are now in the bottom of the Amud. We're picking it up right where we left off. So Rav said that the halacha is like Rav Yossi. What was Shmuel's position? So Shmuel passed like Rav Meir, but then we subsequently learned that he actually passed like Rabbi Gamliel. Who's Rabbi Gamliel? Rabbi Gamliel comes out of left field in this whole discussion. The Gemara points out he's more makel. Rabbi Gamliel says that on all the dates mentioned in Megillas Tanis, you can't fast on that day, you can't eulogize on that day, but Rabbi Gamliel said that you're allowed to eulogize and fast the day before and the day after any of those dates that are mentioned. And Shmuel adopted the position of Gamliel. And now, what are we left with? We're left with, in the Gemara, discussing what is Rav Yochanan's position. Okay, so Amar Bali. We're on Yudches Amar Af, we're in the bottom of the Amud. We're 4 lines from the bottom. Amar Bali, Amar Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Halacha Ki Rav Yossi. So we have a statement made by Rav Yochanan, which is that the Halacha falls like Rabbi Yossi. So Amar Rabbi Chia La Bali, Asbar Allah Ki Amar Rav Yochanan, Halacha Ki Rav Yossi, Adalo Lisana. When does Rav Yochanan fall like Rav Yossi? That's only in the category B. That's only on the dates that you're not allowed to fast. But on the category A, meaning on the dates that you're not allowed to eulogize, so then Rav Yochanan does not follow like Rav Yossi, he follows like Rav Meir. As I pointed out yesterday, it comes out that according to Rav Yochanan, basically any date mentioned in Megillas Tanis, you can't fast the day before, but you're allowed to fast the day after. Now look, the Gemara says, we know that Rav Yochanan has one very basic principle that comes up again and again throughout Shas, which is that according to Rav Yochanan, if you have a Stam Mishnah, if you have an anonymous Mishnah, the halacha will fall like that anonymous Mishnah. Rav Yochanan says that consistently throughout Shas. Utanan, and now we have a Mishnah, which is Afapisha Amru Makdimim Mutarim Behesped Vetanis. Even though, right, Veloma Achrin, you'll notice I didn't read that. Okay, the Gaon takes it out. So even though you can read the Megillah earlier, nevertheless, you're allowed to eulogize and you're allowed to fast on the day that you read the Megillah. Okay. The very first thing we're going to learn together when we start Masechta the Megillah is that you can read the Megillah early. Okay? When exactly are we allowed to read the Megillah? So, again, the mitzvah to read the Megillah is on the 14th day of Adar. I think we knew that. If you live in a walled city, you read the Megillah on the 15th day of Adar. But if, for whatever reason, you can't read on those dates, not whatever reason, right? The Mishnah in the beginning of the Masechta talks about the kfarim, talks about the villages who just can't get anyone to read. Anyway, so they'll be able to read the Megillah earlier. When exactly can they read the Megillah earlier? So they can read either on the 13th day of Adar, or on the 12th day of Adar, or if need be, on the 11th day of Adar. They have those dates available for them to read the Megillah. And the Mishnah points out that even if you're going to read the Megillah earlier, that doesn't mean that today's Purim. It just simply means that you're allowed to read the Megillah earlier. On the day that you read the Megillah early, you could still eulogize and you could still fast. Okay, Adkan, that's what the Mishnah says. Now that's a Stam Mishnah, that's an anonymous Mishnah. And now the Gemara analyzes. Amos, we're on the very top of Yeches Amud Beis. When is this Mishnah talking about? Ilema b'necha meisar v'kakari le'bar beisar. So, suggestion number one. Are we talking about people who lived in a walled city who will have to read the Megillah on the 15th and are reading the Megillah early on the 14th? We will learn together in Masechta Megillah that even if you inhabit, even if you live in a walled city, but you happen to be in a non-walled city on the 14th, you read the Megillah on the 14th. So maybe that's the scenario the Mishnah is describing, to which the Mishnah therefore is saying that if you're reading on the 14th, but yeah, but you're allowed to fast and you're allowed to eulogize. But we know that's patently not true. Umishare the Haksib Megillah Tanis Yomar Basar Bo Yom Chamishasar Bo Yumipirya Onon. The in Megillah Tanis it writes that day 14 and day 15 are Yemei Purim, the lowly Misbad Bahon. You're not allowed to eulogize on those days. Now, what was the point of Megillah Tanis teaching us that? Megillah Tanis doesn't need to teach us that, meaning that's a pasuk in the Megillah, to which the Gemara says, yeah, you know what it's coming to teach us? It's coming to teach us that even if you're a you're a resident of a walled city and you happen to be in a non-walled city on the 14th, you can't fast. You can't eulogize on that day. And the converse would be true. If you're a non-walled city resident and you happen to be in Yerushalayim on the 15th day of Purim, you can't fast. You can't eulogize. And in other words, they're both Yemei Purim. The Ela B'nei Arbeis of Akakar Le'Betleisar. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's try it again. Again, we have a Mishnah in, we have a Stam Mishnah, we're just trying to understand. Is it that I'm early, but I'm allowed to fast and I'm allowed to eulogize? So maybe we're talking about somebody who normally reads the Megillah on the 14th, that's the proper day, and for whatever reason, as described in the beginning of Masechta Megillah, he's reading the Megillah on the 13th. So maybe on the 13th now, it would be allowed to fast and to eulogize. So the Gemara says, no, you are not going to fast and eulogize on the 13th, why not? Yom Nikanor Hu. So the Gemara says, we're not fasting and eulogizing on the 13th because it's Yom Nikanor. Okay, we're not going to explain what that means yet. We'll come back to explain that later. So the Gemara makes now a third suggestion. Okay, normally you're supposed to read the Megillah on the 14th, and you're reading it on the 12th. So the Gemara says, maybe what the Mishnah is telling us is that you're reading on the 12th, and as a result of that, you are allowed to fast on the 12th, not as a result. But even though, despite, right, better conjunction, despite the fact that you're reading on the 12th, you're allowed to fast and eulogize on the 12th. The Gemara says, no, Yom Terinusu. So the Gemara says, no, it's the day of Terinus. Again, no explanation yet what that means. I'll explain what that means later, as the Gemara will explain what that means later. So in other words, the 13th day is Yom Nikanor. The 12th day is Yom Terinus. Again, we don't know what that means yet, but that's fine. We're not going to be fasting and eulogizing neither on the 13th nor on the 12th. Elalav de kakarule bechadsar. The katani mutabas b'vatanis. So the Gemara says, so it must be, just simply by process of elimination, it's got to be that normally you read the Megillah on the 14th, you, for whatever reason, bumped your Megillah reading up to the 11th. You're reading the Megillah on the 11th. And what's the Mishnah telling us? The Mishnah is telling us that you are, even though you're reading the Megillah on the 11th, you're allowed to fast and eulogize on the 11th. Okay? Now, what do we gain from all this? Meaning, now that we're here, what do we see? And again, that was a lot of conjecture and that was a lot of speculation. This juncture of the Gemara, what it sounds like is the following. I normally read the Megillah on the 14th, now I moved it up to the 11th. I'm reading, for whatever reason, I'm reading the Megillah on the 11th. I'm allowed to, under certain circumstances. And the Mishnah says, you're allowed to fast and eulogize on the 11th. Now let's consider, what did we just learn in the Gemara? That day 12 and day 13th of Adar are days that are in Megillah's Tanis. The 13th day happens to be called Yom Nikaner, for reasons which we'll understand in just a moment. Day 12 is called Yom Turinus, for reasons which we'll understand in just a moment. But those are days of Megillah's Tanis. Now, if those are days mentioned in Megillah's Tanis, so what's the position that one would imagine? At least according to Rav Yossi, that I'm not allowed to fast on that day, nor am I allowed to fast the day before. So then, how can the Mishnah allow me to fast and eulogize the day before the 12th day of Adar, the 11th day of Adar, which the Mishnah is allowing me to do? That's the question. It sounds like from the Mishnah is adopting whose position? Not Rabbi Yossi's position, but Rabbi Meir's position, that you're allowed to fast on the day before and on the day after of any date mentioned in Megillas Tanis. And now the question begs on Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan, how can you possibly like Rabbi Yossi when you have a Stam Mishnah going like Rabbi Meir? Okay. That's the Gemara's question. The Gemara's response, lo b'nei arbasa v'kakarilei b'treisar. So the Gemara says, no, we're going to go back to a suggestion that we rejected earlier. It really, you read on the 12th. It was Gemara Yom Terinusu. So the Gemara says, and what was your problem? The 12th day of Adar is Yom Terinus. So the Gemara says, Yom Terinus gufei b'tulei batluhu. So the Yom Terinus day has been expunged. No, well, not expunged. Wrong choice of word. It's still there, but it's been abolished. So because the reason why is because Shmai and Achayev were killed. Shmai and Achayev here, I will not promise any more information on Shmai and Achayev, simply because Rashi says, Chasidim Hayu, they were very special people. So Rashi says, I don't know, right? This is, Rashi yesterday also made a number of admissions of, I don't know. Here's another one. So the Gemara here references that there was a killing of two very special brothers. We don't know who they are, but anyway, it happened on the 12th day of Adar, which means that although the 12th day was a festive day, it was a Yom Terinus, but it's been abolished because it was superimposed with a tragedy of the killing of Shmai V'Achaya. Okay, anyway, and so what do you see? That the 12th day was uprooted, and Kihadra Avnachim Gaza Tanisa Betresar Amrele Rabbani Yom Terinusu, and the Gemara tells us that, you see, that this happened on another occasion as well. Rav Nachman instituted a fast, a public fast day on the 12th day of Adar, and the response of the rabbis was, wait a second, Megillas Tanis, that's one of the dates, you can't do that. Amalahu, Yom Terinus, Gufe Betlu Batluhu. So the Gemara says, well, I'm sorry, Rav Nachman's response was, no, it's been abolished. Why? Because the brothers Shmai and Achaya were killed on that day. So therefore, the date, even though it's still there, but the status of the date has been abolished. So the Gemara says, but wait a second. Still, one can make an argument that you're not allowed to fast on the 12th day of Adar, because even though you're right, the Terinus date has been abolished, but still it's the day before Nikanor. So the Amar Ravashi has to eat gufe balu mishum yom Nikanor nekum negzor nekum negzor. So the Gemara Ravashi's response is: look, once the status of the 12th has been abolished, so therefore we're allowed to fast. Meaning a tragedy has occurred on the 12th; the two brothers were killed. Therefore, you're allowed to fast. And despite the fact that it's the day before the 13th, and the 13th is Yom Nikanor, still, once the 12th has been abolished, so therefore you'll have to fast. Which is, if you remember, now let's just review, this is one of Tosus's answers on yesterday's daf. In yesterday's daf, Tosus asked the question, how can we fast the day before Purim? Isn't it a day before a date in Megillas Tanis? So one of the answers of Tosfos is yes, but once the day's been abolished, so therefore one is allowed to fast on that day, even though it's the day before another date recorded in Megillas Tanis. Okay. That is the Gemara's conclusion, and so therefore we have not the Gemara tried to knock Rav Yochanan's position out by pointing out that Rav Yochanan seems to be negating Stam Mishnah, an anonymous Mishnah, but then the Gemara concluded that's not accurate. It's not true. The Stam Mishnah can still be intact, and Rav Yochanan's position can still be intact. That Rav Yochanan follows like Rav Yossi, that the day before is prohibited to fast. The day before any date mentioned in Megillas Tanis, you're not allowed to fast, and he's adopting the position of Rav Yossi, and the Stam Mishnah is not going against Rav Yochanan. Okay, we have explaining to do. And that is really what we're going to be doing until the end of the parak, and that is we have two dates that the Gemara just brought up and gave us no context, no explanation, and now the Gemara is going to do exactly that: context and explanation. There is what's called there's the 13th day of Adar, which is what's called Yom Nikanor, and the 12th day of Adar, which is called Yom Tarinus. What are these dates? So my Nikanor, my Tarinus, the Tanya. So the Gemara here quotes the Braisa. And apparently, I didn't fact check, but apparently this is Megillas Tanis, meaning we're quoting from Megillas Tanis over here. Nikanor echad me'africha yavanim haya. Now, Nikanor, now it's interesting. We think Nikanor, at least I do, and immediately I go to the gates of the Azara, the gates of the temple courtyard, that's the Shar Nikanor, that's the Nikanor gate, because the person who donated those gates was a man by the name of Nikanor, or Nikanor, however it's pronounced. But that's right here. Different Nikanor. Okay, so now in our progress through Shas, we are now going to expose ourselves to two Nikanors. I guess back in Greece, that was a popular name. So Nikanor Echami Me'afrecha Yevanim Hayazi was a Greek officer. Uvechol Yom V'Yom Hayamein of Yadol Yehud of Yerushalayim. Now every day he would wave his hand over Yehud and Yerushalayim V'Omer and Masai Tipol B'Yadi V'Armasena. And basically, he was looking forward to the day of destruction. He wanted to destroy it. Now the Chashmonaim were victorious, meaning this is taking us right into the middle of Vaisheni. So the Greeks had a hand up, but we did experience success in battle through the Chashmonaim, and they beat this Nikanor. V'nitzchom v'kitzitzu b'honos yad v'raglav. And now remember, Mida Keneged Mida, he waved his hand over Yerushalayim. So what did they do? So they cut his hands and his feet, V'talam B'Shar Yerushalayim, and they hung them in the gates of Yerushalayim. V'amru Pesha Yamadabra Begava V'yadayim Shayu Menifos Al Yerushalayim, the mouth that spoke with such arrogance and the hands that were spread out over Jerusalem, Taseh Behem Nekama, we're going to extract vengeance against them. Okay, so that's Yom Nikanor. So the Yom Nikanor, that's strong. So the Yom Nikanor, so the Nikanor day, the 13th day of Adar, is the day in which we experience that victory over the Greeks. Now, my Tyrannus, we have another day that we need to explain, and that's the Tyrannus day. Amu Kishabikesh Tyrannus Laharogus Lulinus Upapos Echiv Balutkia. So Tyrannus wanted to kill Lulinus and Papas. So they were brothers in the town of Lutkia. Amalhem im ta'im im me amushal chananim mishal v'azarya atem yavo aleim v'yatzil elom, sorry, atem yavo elokechem v'yatzil eschem miyadi k'derech sheyatzil chananim mishal v'azarya miyad nebuchadnezzar. So this leader, this dictator, now I don't know if it's Roman, if it's Greek, I'm just simply not clear. But he told these two brothers, Papas and Lulinus, look, right? Don't worry, your God will save you. Right? At least that's what you should expect. I mean, he did save Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah from the furnace of Nebuchadnezzar. So, right, at least a couple hundred years ago. So you'll experience the same thing. Amrulo. So they said to him, to this Tyrannus. Tyrannus tyrant, right? I'm sure they're connected. At least I'm guessing they are. But Amru lo chanani mishal v'azari tzadikim gemorim hayu. So they said, no, it's not going to happen. Look, chanani mishal v'azari, they were tzadikim. V'ru'uyim hayu le'asus lehem neis. A miracle should have, can and did, was experienced on their behalf, but they're tzaddikim. Furthermore, Nebuchadnezzar melech hagon haya. Nebuchadnezzar was a worthy adversary. In other words, the Gemara says he was hagon. Hagon literally means proper. Proper in this context means he was a worthy adversary, meaning he was fit enough so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would save them from him. But meanwhile, you, right, Osa Rasha, it's a euphemism. But meanwhile, you're nobody. You're a simpleton. And Va'anu, and we're not going to excuse ourselves from this description, we also deserve to die. So in other words, there's not going to be any miracle happening over here. You're going to put us in a furnace, and we're going to burn. It's not going to be a repeat performance of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah from Nebuchadnezzar. Now, if you don't kill us, Kadosh Baruch Hu will extract our death. A bear, a lion, we're going to die. Meaning, we're not worried. I know that's usually not how you confront death, but we're not worried. Kadosh Baruch Hu will kill us. We deserve to die. The Gemara does not tell us why does they deserve to die. It's not for the purposes of the report of this story, it's not important. But in other words, for whatever reason, they needed to die. And they said to Tyrannus, we'll die, one way or another. I'm sorry, Yeshlov Lamakum Balamosha, Pogim Banu, Vahogim Osanu, Ela Lo Marsanu, Kadosh Baruch Hu Biadecha. And the only reason why you get the chance to kill us, Eshaasid Liparea, Daminu Miadecha, is only so that God can extract vengeance from you for having killed us. That's the only reason why you're killing us. Okay, tough talk, but I mean, I mean that sincerely. Meaning that is tough talk. Afa Pikein Hargu, and so okay, Tyrannus wasn't phased, so he killed them. And Miyad Amru Lo Zaza Mashama Shabala Diufli Mirami Upatos Mocha Bigizrin, and then a Diufli. The two generals came from the city of Rome, and they killed him. They killed Tyrannus. Patos mocho begizim. They chopped open his skull. And so, even though obviously extremely sad that Lulinus and Papias died, but they were absolutely right, and that the Kadosh Baruch Hu would extract vengeance from this Tyrannus. It happened immediately, and the Gemara turned the 13th day. Sorry, this is Tyrannus. The 12th day of Adar into one of the festive days of Megillas Tanis. Okay, Adkan. Okay, so we got an exposure today to the 12th and 13th day of Adar, two dates recorded in Megillas Tanis, having nothing to do with Purim, obviously. Purim happened much earlier. Purim happened between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. These are two events that happened during Bayis Sheni, and therefore these dates were recorded in Megillas Tanis. Let's continue. Let's finish up the perek. Ein gozrin zer. I'm sorry. Ein gozrin tanis al tzibra b'tchilah b'chamishi. Ein gozrin tanis b'roshei chadashim. You do not make a fast day on Rosh Chodesh. Meaning, whatever the reason is, the cause is to make a fast, but you do not do some Rosh Chodesh. V'kama havya haschala. What does that mean? To begin, Rabbi Acha Amar Shalosh. Rabbi Yosi Amar Achas. Three fast versus one fast. Meaning three. Meaning Monday, Thursday, Monday. That would be three as opposed to one just simply being one fast day. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Zudiv, Rabbi Meir, Shamar Mishom, Rabbi Gamliel, Ava Chachamam Omrim, Mit'ane Umashlim. Even though the Mishnah's position is that you don't fast on a Rosh Chodesh, that is the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel. But nevertheless, the Chachamim say you do fast and you conclude the fast. Darash Marzuchim Mishmei Derav Hun Alacha Metana Mashlim, and the Gemara's conclusion is that you do fast on such a day. Okay,
No,
not following Rabbi Meir. Meaning, yeah. Our Mishnah's position is like Rabbi Meir. But the Chachamim say that you do fast. Okay. Tosus points out that but you don't conclude the fast.
Oh, I see.
Right. The Gemara's conclusion is that you fast and you conclude the fast. And to which Tosus points out that's true for Rosh Chodesh, but that won't be true for Hanukkah and for Purim. Meaning on Hanukkah and Purim, that for sure you do not institute as a fast day. Those are you may mishta b'simcha. Okay. Hadralach seder tanis ketzah. That is the end of the second parak of the Masechta. And now let's begin. We are now up to the third parak. We're a little bit past the midway point. But in terms of parakim, we are halfway through the Masechta. There are four parakim in Masechta tanis. And now we are up to the third parak. Again, so let's quickly summarize. The first parak talked about the impending drought. The first parak spoke at length in terms of the significance of rain, the importance of rain, many pages of Haggadah speaking about how important rain is, and then the times that we ask for rain, the times that we mention rain, that we ask for rain. That was the first parak. The first parak tells us that if there is not rain, so at that point in time we start fast, and the first parak introduces us to the idea of first the Yechidim fast, individual fast, then a series of three public fasts, followed by another series of three public fasts, followed then by a series of seven public fasts. Monday, Thursday, Monday, Thursday, Monday, Thursday, Monday. After which, that's it. That's the end of the public fast. The second parak of Amar Sechta talked about protocol. How exactly we go about fasting during these seven public fasts. During the seven public fasts, these are the Tanit Sibur, these are the official public fast days, and what exactly is the protocol? We talked about the public gathering in the street, the Aron taken out into the street, the ashes placed on the Aron and on the people, and the special Shemona essay that's recited, and that's the second parak of Masechta Tanis. Here in this third parak, now we're going to be discussing other tragedies and other calamities that would require a fast day to be instituted, a public fast day to be instituted. Seder Tanios Eilu Hamor B'Revi Rishona. These fast days are instituted by the Revi Rishona by the first rains. Now you remember we talked about earlier in the Masechta how on the Yoreh, meaning there are two rains, the early season rain and the late season rain. Season is from after Sukkot until Pesach. That's season. Early season is by Cheshvan, and late season is Adar Nisan. The Yoreh, the early season rains, comes in basically are expected on three dates. What exactly those three dates were? So you remember earlier in the Masechta, there was a machlokus amongst the Tanayim exactly when the dates of the three were. But they were around end of Cheshvan, beginning of Kislev. The Mishnah here says that these fast days are B'Reviyah Rishona. That comes on the first Reviyah, the first of the Yoreh, of the early rain. Aval. And what the Gemara will explain later on in Rashi, take a look at Rashi right here on the Mishnah. Where Rashi here is saying, so if you take a look at the first Rashi in the Mishnah, Ha'amar b'perek rishon shebitchil yichidim etanim, skip the next two words, v'achar kach sibur holchanim etanim ad yugimol, im lo nanu b'revir rishona, im avar zman revir rishona shol yor v'lo yardu. What the Mishnah means is that if the dates go by and it doesn't rain, so metanim v'holchan keseder azeh. So then you fast the way we've described up until this point in the Masechta. Meaning, when it comes to drought, you don't start panicking immediately. It takes a little time before we go into panic. When I say panic, I mean the seven public fast days. Those are the most intense days of fasting, because at that point in time now, it is very clear that we are in the middle of a drought. Okay, however, aval, back to the Mishnah, we're still in the first line of the Mishnah. Then basically from this point going forward in the Mishnah, the Mishnah is going to mention what will bring us immediately to levels of panic. Meaning, up until now, we kind of progressed to panic because it's just an absence of rain. So in other words, it may or may not yet come, and it still would be beneficial if it came. So therefore, we don't immediately move to panic. But now, from this point going forward in the Mishnah will go through a number of different events and experiences where we go directly to panic. And when I say panic, I mean experiencing a public fast day, Tanit Sibur, the way we've described during the last seven fasts. Aval, Tzmechim Shishanu Matrin Alemiyat. If let's say Tzmechim, the growth is growing, but they don't look right. They're growing in a disfigured or demented fashion. So at that point in time, Masriyan Aleihem, Masriyan, means shofar. Shofar means tanit sibur, a full public fast. Miyad v'cheshe pasku gusham ben geshel magdeshem arbam yom. Or let's say it hasn't rained for days. Hadn't rained for 40 days, panic. Masrin aleim mimneshi makas bitzoros, because that is a famine. Now, the Gemara later on will point out, that's not a famine, it will lead to famine. Okay. Yardul simachin v'avalo yardul ilan. Let's say it rained for the plants, but it hasn't rained for the trees. Le'ilan v'lo l'smachim. It rained for the trees, but not for the plants. L'zev l'zev l'boros sheichin l'ma'aros. Let's say it rained for plants and trees, but our reservoirs are not being filled. Masrin alehim miyad. Again, that's cause for panic, and you go immediately into Tanit Sibur mode. V'chenir shalo yadu aleha gashamim dechzivi imtarti al ir achaz v'al ir achaz lo amtir chalka achaz timatir. The Pasuk in Amos describes where a city is not experiencing rain. Even though its neighboring city is experiencing rain, for the city not experiencing rain, fast, public fast. Oso a'ir mitana umatra'as. So the city that's not experiencing rain is going to fast, going to a public fast. V'chol sivivul seha. Now what about the surrounding cities? Mitanos v'lo matrios. They'll fast, but no shofar. Meaning it won't be the formal tanit sibur. It'll be a milder form of fasting. As I read the Mishnah, I thought as a means of solidarity. Not exactly. Rashi explains that if you're in a surrounding city of a city that is experiencing a famine, so you will be directly affected. How so? Even if your city has experienced rain. Because that means that the neighboring city is going to come to you, so that means that you're going to have to be sharing your resources together with that neighboring city that's experiencing a drought. You will be directly affected by it, not with the immediacy as the city who is experiencing the drought, but because you're going to be affected, you also need to fast as well. Rabbi Kiva Omer Matriel Velo Metanos. Rabbi Kiva says you'll blow shofar, but you won't fast for the neighboring cities. V'chein ir sheyesh ba devro mapos. If there's a city experiencing a plague, or the houses are caving in, right? Rashi describes a strong wind, and therefore the houses are collapsing. Oso ir metana masra'as. So the city experiencing the plague or the collapsing houses is going to go into direct panic mode, meaning fasting and shofar. What about neighboring cities? Neighboring cities, fasting, but no shofar. And Rabbi Kiva, Omer, Masrios v'lo Masanos. And Rabbi Kiva, again, consistently says, yeah, for neighboring cities, shofar, but no fasting. Ezuhu dever. The Mishnah over here gives us a very specific definition of what a plague means. Ira Mosia Chameshmas Ragli, a city with a population of 500. V'yatsu mimenu gimel meisim, v'gimel yamim ze'acher zeh. And three people die in three consecutive days, meaning death is not unusual, but three people dying in three consecutive days. That is strange. That's an anomaly that speaks to a plague. So therefore, immediately you go into Tanit, that city goes into Tanit Sibur. Skip the next line of the Mishnah. Al Eilam Asrim B'chol Makom. And now, here's where a public fast will be practiced universally. Why? As Rashi points out, and it will be pretty clear in the Mishnah, because this is a type of calamity where it travels, and so therefore all you need to do is just catch wind of it. I mean that literally and figuratively, you catch wind of it, and it will come to you. So therefore, anyone who hears about such a plague needs to go into a Tanit Sibur. Let me go a little slower so I can explain each one. Shidafon are wind blasts that basically dry up the ground. Yirakon is some sort of illness. Like almost like a jaundice, if you will. Al ha'arbev al ha'chasil, those are types of locusts. Al ha'chaya ra'a, wild animals that go right after people. Al ha'cherev, or war. So all these different types of plagues that we just described are traveling, and therefore, even if you're not directly affected right now, but you are in that cone of death, right? Us Floridians understand. So therefore, you have to go into public fast immediately. The Mishnah says it's a traveling plague. Okay, period. Now, huh? No, this is anywhere. This is universal. If you hear about it and you're living in a totally different location, it does not matter. You are within reach of that plague. Okay. Now I placed a period over here. The Mishnah is going to go on, but you understand the format of the perek. And in the second perek, the same thing happened. I don't know why, but all the Mishnahs were front loaded. Usually, the way the format of the Gemara works is that it's Mishnah, Gemara, and for reasons which I don't know, in the second and third perakim of the Masechta, all the Mishnahs become front loaded. So we're going to experience a lot of Mishnayos. In fact, nearly the rest of this Amud is Mishnayos. But it's on to a next point. There was an episode where the elders went from Yerushalayim to their cities, and they instituted a fast. Why? A public fast. Because they saw just a small amount of Shidafon. Shidafon was that wind blast in the town of Ashkelon. Ashkelon is Plishtim country, says Rashi. And so it's not, right, it's not here. It's, in other words, it's not a local event. And yet, they institute a fast. Again, going back to the previous point of the Mishnah, because even though it was out in Ashkelon, but again, Shidafon traveled, and therefore everyone needs to fast. Another event that happens on the other side of the Jordan, where two wolves came and ate two children. And so, again, that's chaya ra'a, that's wild animals. And as the Mishnah pointed out earlier, that's something which travels, and therefore everybody needs to fast. Continuing, Rabbi Yossi Amar, lo al sha'achlu, lo al sha'niru. Rabbi Yossi says, I'm just going to modify the story just a little bit. They didn't eat the two children, they looked at two children, meaning there appeared two wolves in the area of Eivor HaYarden, and so therefore, public fast. And now, on these events, we're going to cry out on Shabbos. Rashi over here writes that the word Masrin over here is not what it means earlier. Earlier it meant Shrua and blowing the shofar, but now we're talking about on Shabbos. So on Shabbos, we're not blowing the shofar on Shabbos, but it just simply means that we're going to cry out to Kadosh Baruch Hu for help. Normally on Shabbos is not a time that you cry out to Kadosh Baruch Hu for help. You do not petition on Shabbos, but the Gemara notes is that if you have these types of tragedies befalling the Jewish people, it's appropriate to cry to Hashem on Shabbos. Al ir shi kifu anachrim o nahar. If, let's say, you have a city that is besieged, or nahar, you have a river that's swelling and potential flood. Al asfina miturafis bayam, you're on a boat and the boat is shaking now in the water. It's possibly going to be sunk. Rabbi Yossi Omer Lazar v'lo letzaka. Rav Yossi's position is, yes, you can cry out, but for help. Meaning, but you cannot dive into a Kadosh Baruch Hu. This position of Rav Yossi we saw earlier in the Masechta, meaning on Shabbos, is again, it's just not an appropriate time to dive into Hashem for personal requests, even if those requests are urgent. But still, Shabbos is not the time to do so. If you can cry for others to help you, that's fine, but not daven for them on Shabbos. Shimon Atamani Omer Afal Adever. Shimon Atamani says Dever, plague, is something that you cry for on Shabbos. V'lahodu lo chacham, and the chacham did not agree. Akol tzara asher tavo latzibur masrin aleihem. You cry out for any calamity that happens, chutz merov gishamim, except for an abundance of rain. Meaning, even if it's too much rain, so that's something that we do not cry out to Kadosh Baruch Hu. We don't institute a public fast for too much rain. Too much rain is bad, but not something that we cry out for, because obviously, ultimately, it's good. And then the Mishnah here tells us perhaps one of the most famous stories in Shas, and the Gemara tells us an incident regarding Choni HaMa'agil. Choni HaMa'agil, you'll notice his name is Ma'agal, meaning like a circle. And I think we all know the story. Let's go through it together in the Mishnah. His father Shiarduk Shamim. So They davened for rain. And basically, Choni Amagel tells the people, listen, we're going to daven for rain. It's going to happen. He felt confident. Take your grills and bring your grills inside your house because the rain is not good for your grill. Shalom Yimoku. It's followed by Layarduk Shaman. They davened and the rain did not come down. Ma'asa. So what did he do? Choni Hamagel. Aguga v'amad b'socha. So he drew a circle and he stood in the circle. V'amar lefan v'ribono sholam banecha samu p'neim elai. Your children turn your face to me. Sh'ani keben b'ayis lefanecha. I am like a member of the household in your house. Nishbani b'shmecha b'shimcha agadol she'ni zaz mekan ad sh'terachem al banecha. I will not move from here, from the circle, until you have compassion for your children. Hizchilu gishamim min natfin. Rain came down, but only as drips. Amar lo kach sha'alti ala gishmei borst shichin umaros. So Choni Hamagel says, no, it's unacceptable. Right? And again, he's talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you think about the tone in which he's talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's rough. The Mishnah, I should say, will comment on that later on. He says, this is unacceptable. I want the rain that will fill up the reservoirs. His chilo leireid bizav. It then came down as a torrential rain. Amar lo kach sha'alti. And the Choni Hamagel says, no, this is also unacceptable. El gishmei ratzon bracha unedava. I want it to rain, but not torrential, just simply rain. Yardu ki tiknam achiyatsu yisrael miyushalayim laharabayim. And the members of the city of Yerushalayim had to go up to Har HaBayis. Remember, as you go into the Beis HaMikdash, you're going to be going, you're making an ascent. So you go up to Har HaBayis so that they would save themselves from all that rain that came down. So they say to Choni Hamagel, okay, good. It rained. We have enough. Go back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ask him now for it to stop. So Amar Lahem Tsuru im nimches even hatoein. So he says, well, go to the stone. What stone are we talking about? Rashi points out the Gemara Bava Metzia. There was a stone in Yerushalayim where basically lost and found. So there were every big environment has a designated area of lost and found, as they did in the Beis Hamikdash. It was called the Even Hatoein. So basically, go and see what the story is over there. Shachlo Shim, I'm sorry, and go find out whether or not that stone is still visible. The Mishnah doesn't give us any more of the story, but basically, he wasn't that prepared to daven for the rain to stop, which is basically the Gemara's punctuation of the previous point, which is that we'll make a time seabor for it to rain. But Rov Gishamim, we're not so quick to make a Tanit Sibur. Shimon Meshetach. Now, Shimon Meshetach sent the following to Choni Hamagel. Now, mind you, Shimon Meshetach is an early Tana. Right? He's one of the Zugos. So this just historically puts Choni Hamagel early in the area of the Tanayim. Meaning he's before Beit Shammai, before Shammai, before Hillel. Meaning he's amongst the early Tanayim. Had you not been Choni Hamagel, I would have excommunicated you. Why? So the Mishnah doesn't explain why, but if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, because of the way you spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was not bekavod. You did not speak to God as if you're as a Talmud speaks to his Rav. You spoke to him, you know, like a child to a parent, but a child to a parent also has to speak respectfully. But you spoke to him like you were so comfortable with him, and that was not appropriate. Had you not been Choni Hamagel, had you been somebody else, I would have put you in a cheirim. But what can I do? You're like a Ben Bias. You're super comfortable with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's how you speak to Kadosh Baruch Hu. I don't endorse it. I would like to push you in the cherem. I'm not going to do it. But okay, that's That ends that story. Now we're still in the Mishnah, right? The Hayumis Anin V'Yardulahem Gishamim Kodem Anetzacham Lo Yeshlimo. Let's say a Tanit Sibur was instituted, and rain comes down before Netzacham Lo Yeshlimo. Okay, so in other words, we can basically call off the fast. La'achar Netzacham Yeshlimo. But if the rain comes down after Netzachama, so even though the fast is no longer necessary, but we started, we'll finish. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Kodem Chatzos, Lo Yishlimo, Lacher Chatzos, Yishlimo. Rabbi Lazar disagrees. He says that the point of demarcation will be Chatzos midday, meaning we institute a Tanit Sibur. If the rain comes down before Chatzos, we can call off the fast. If it comes after Chatzos, we'll finish the fast. Maisa Shagazu Tanis Belod. The Gemara tells a story about the city of Lod where they instituted a fast. V'yardu lahem geshamim kodem chatzos. The rain came down before chatzos. So Amalem Rabbi Tarfon suvachlu v'shasu v'asu yom tov. And Rabbi Gamliel's response was, Rabbi Tarfon's response was, make today a yantav. V'yasu v'achlu v'shasu v'asu yom tov v'avu bein harabayim. The Karu Halo HaGadol, they came back at the afternoon, and they said, Halo HaGadol, in other words, the fast was successful. In fact, they didn't even finish the fast. And the story indicates that the halacha falls like Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, we'll come back to that point. Okay, let's start with the Gemara. Seder Tanya Zayilu Amar Birvir Rishonu Reminu. The Gemara now is going to try to clarify the first point of our Mishnah. Now again, we did this back in the Mishnah. I read Rashi, but here the Gemara just simply irons it out. The Gemara says, would you take a look at what we learned earlier in the Masechta? Revir Rishon Vishnir, Lishol Shlishis Lisanos. Meaning, as I explained, in the early rainy season, the Yoreh, basically there are three significant dates. The Revir Rishona, the Shnia, the Shlishis. Right? And it's only when you get to the third significant date, then and only then do you fast. So what is our Mishnah talking about? So Amar Rav Yehuda lo hachi kamar. So Rav Yehuda explains. Seder Tanya Amor Emes Abizman Shiatsu Revir Rishon Vishnia Vishlishis Velo Yardu Gishamim. So our Mishnah actually means exactly that, says Rav Yehuda. That when you skip the second date, and you now have arrived at the third date and rain has not come, now it starts fasting. Ava Yardu Gishamim Revir Rishon Vizar Velo Simchu. What our Mishnah is describing is what is a cause for immediate alarm. So for example, you plant the seeds but they're not taking root. For example, the seeds are growing but in a deformed and disfigured manner. So those are things where now we no longer wait. We go right into trua, blowing shofar, fasting. I'm Rav Nachman, Dafka Nishtanu, Aval Yavshu Lo. So Rav Nachman says that when do we start panicking? That's only if the plant is growing, but in a disfigured manner. But if the plant's dried up, so then we don't institute a fast. Why not? So Rashi offers two explanations over here on the Gemara. I'll just say over the first pshat in Rashi. Rashi says because if the plants have dried up, it's dead. And there's no point in fasting. Meaning, if fasting is only for things that could be overturned, if the plants dried up, that's it. That's unfortunately, it's a tragedy, but fasting will not help. Much like we discussed earlier, why don't we fast after 13 fasts? The season's over. Right? There's no point in fasting now. Fasting is only to overturn the impending danger. So that's Rashi's first pshat. Aval yashvu lo. Pshita nishanu tanan. The Gemara says, isn't that obvious? The Mishnah says, disformed and disfigured. Lo tzricha da'akon. So the Gemara says, well, maybe even after they dried up, they you saw a little bit of growth afterwards. Ma'ad detema akanta milsehi. I might have thought that that's significant. The Gemara says, kamash mulan. No, once you see that the plants dried up, that's it. They're dead. It's over. Season's over. We lost the crop. The Gemara over here wants to know what does it mean when it says Makas Bitsaras? I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav Maka Mevi'ali De Bitsaras. Okay, so Apshat, again, we said this in the Mishnah, but again, I knew the Gemara. So the Gemara says it means that when it goes 40 days without rain, so it will lead to a famine. Amrav Nachman Nahara An Nahara. If let's say that there's such a scarcity of food that in order for this community to eat, we're going to need food shipped in from another community, right? That's Rashi's explanation of the Gemara. V'she'ein tfu'a be'ir achas. I'm reading the last Rashi on the page. V'yesh ba'yaros acheros v'eshel avim mizel azeh derech nahar b'sfina. So the food can be shipped via the river. Bitsurta, that is considered a bitsaras. What is the definition of bitsaras? Take a look at the first Rashi on the Amud Beis. Bitsaras zu velo ra'av. It means that it's a food shortage, but that's not a famine. Ho v'yacholen lisa bisfinos. Food shortages are not a tanit sibor, don't require the alarm. Meaning it's, obviously the situation is serious, but negotiable. We can import food. However, Medinasa Amidinasa Kafna, but if we're gonna need to go travel to another country in order to get our food, that's called Kafna, that's a famine, even though we can travel to another country to get our food, but that's called Kafna. Right? So we could just think of the brothers in Eretz Yisrael who they had to travel to Egypt to get their food. That's a famine. Even though they can get their food by traveling to Egypt, but that's Medinasa, and that's considered a famine, that would require a Tanit Sibur. Am Rabbi Chanina sa b'sal shchicha b'tzurta. Let's say you can buy food, it's expensive, right? Sa'a b'sela. My one sela has buying power, but not great buying power. I could purchase a full sa'a, but that's it. So that's b'tzurta. And again, according to Rashi, as a food shortage, it's negotiable. We can handle it. Although it's obviously arba'a v'lo shchicha kafna. Now let's say the food is cheap, there's just not a lot of food. Now I know this flies in the face of basic economics, right? But however you want to understand this, there's just not enough food, kafna, that's a famine. I'm Rav Yochan lo shana le bizman sha'amos bezol peres b'yoker. Avamos b'yoker. Let's say the food is really cheap, but people don't have money. So people don't have money, that's something where we are sound the alarms. Am Rav Yochanan, Nihirna kad havakami da'atzon b'stela. I remember, where you could buy four sa'a with one stela, meaning food was cheap. However, v'avu nefishin, nefichi kafan, b'tveria medalei sisar. But I remember the bellies of people blowing up, meaning they were starving, because nobody had money. So in other words, prices were down, just simply nobody had money, and so therefore that's kafna, that's a famine, and that requires us to cry out to Kadosh Baruch Hu immediately. Okay, correct. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from the two dots. Okay, we made headway in terms of getting back, getting back to where we need to, and... Tomorrow we'll pick it up.